Call the House Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology for Thursday, May 3rd, 2007 to order. And I'm not going to take the bills in the order they appear on the calendar. I'm going to change the order a bit. I'm going to do 615 first, then 773, then 516, and finally 417. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 615. Yeah, would you give us a rundown on that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 615 grants the Metropolitan Service District jurisdiction over boundary changes within the district boundaries and eliminates the process for contested boundary changes and requires the district to establish criteria for boundary changes, boundary change hearing and notification process, and uncontested boundary change process. There is a no revenue, minimal fiscal impact, and the vote in the Senate on this measure was 28-0.
Mr. Benner? Go ahead when you're ready.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. Richard Benner. I work in the attorney's office at Metro. This bill, Senate Bill 615, would repeal a requirement currently in statute that Metro provide an appeals process when there is a boundary change in the metropolitan region, such as a special district annexation or an annexation to a city. The reason that we're seeking repeal of this requirement is that when there used to be a boundary commission in the Portland metropolitan area, there was an appeals process to that boundary commission. And from the boundary commission, appeals would then go to the Land Use Board of Appeals. In 1997, after many, many years of debate, the legislature decided to pass a law abolishing the Boundary Commission for the Portland area. That's responsible for that horrible acronym that I've got in the middle of my testimony, and I forgot to write it out, but that stands for Portland Metropolitan Area Local Government Boundary Commission. So in 1997, the same bill that repealed the Boundary Commission put a few requirements on boundary changes in the Metro statute so that there was a role for the Metro Council, or Metro as an organization, in boundary changes. And I've listed them there, the bulleted things that we were given responsibility for doing them. And one of them was, you'll see bullet number four, a contested case appeal process available to cities, counties, and special districts to a Metro Boundary Appeals Commission. And I note that this process was not available to citizens. It was available to cities, counties, and special districts. So if there were disagreements about a boundary change among local governments, there could be an appeal to this Boundary Appeals Commission. So that's been, we responded by establishing the Boundary Appeals Commission in 1998, and it's been there since. It's only heard a couple of appeals. The idea was to have an appeals process that would be relatively fast, somewhat informal, as an alternative, really, to going right to LUBA, which those local governments could do and can do today. Recently, a couple of cases came before Metro. One of them in particular really illustrates why this bill is a good idea. The local governments who were squabbling among themselves about a boundary change, once the boundary change was made by a couple of cities, each city appealed the others to LUBA and to us. So instead of using our process as an easy and informal substitute, it became something they did too. And then our Boundary Appeals Commission made a decision. Meanwhile, the LUBA cases are on hold. Our Boundary Appeals Commission decision gets appealed to LUBA. So LUBA now has all the cases. It decided them all together. And in the process of deciding the case that had come to our Boundary Appeals Commission, said, from here on out, all appeals, all these kinds of appeals, have to go to the Boundary Appeals Commission before they can go to LUBA. So that changed everything. We had thought of it as an informal alternative to get people off the LUBA track. As a result of reading the statutes, LUBA concluded that it's now a step, an added step in the appeals process. So if you're one of these local governments and you want to appeal a boundary change, you can't choose between going to LUBA or to our Boundary Appeals Commission. You have to go to our Boundary Appeals Commission first, and then you go to LUBA. So the situation then is that our Boundary Appeals Commission process has become an extra step in the appeals process. We've talked this over with the local governments who would have access to this committee. We've talked to the members of the Boundary Appeals Commission themselves. They all agree that this was not what was intended by the legislature in 1997, and that the best thing to do at this point is simply to remove the requirement to take the Boundary Appeals Commission out of the long, already lengthy appeals process. And that's what Senate Bill 615 would do. In addition to my testimony, I also gave you the testimony of Jill Thorne. Ms. Thorne is a member of the Boundary Appeals Commission and has been for some time. She was able to come to the Senate committee to testify in support of the bill. She was not able to come today, so she asked me to deliver to you the points that she makes in her testimony there. That's really what this bill does, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have about it.
Any questions? Yes, Representative Badger.
Thank you. Well, this bill only is talking about Portland. Am I correct? Okay, so because I saw a mention in your testimony about Salem, Kaiser, and Eugene, Springfield, so that's why I was wondering. Okay, thank you.
Just the metro area.
I have one question, I guess, and that is, why was a decision made to repeal this instead of doing a clarifying law to make people choose one or the other?
Representative Riley, I think the reason is that the people who have, it's not been used very much. Two in the last 2 years, and the last one was, there's only been one more. But those participants have come to the conclusion that because there can always be an appeal from this body to LUBA, it doesn't really do anything for them.
Okay.
The same issues can be raised in both places, and if it really were an off-ramp completely, they'd probably like it. But that can't happen.
Can't happen.
No.
Okay. That answers my question. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. Don't have anyone else on the list for this. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on this bill? I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 615, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 615.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 615 to the floor of the DuPass recommendation.
Representative Girard moves Senate Bill 615 to the floor of the DuPass recommendation. Any discussion? Call roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Having received the required votes, Senate Bill 615 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do I have any volunteers to carry this? Representative Gerard will carry it. Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 773. Can you tell us about that, Patrick?
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 773 removes statutory references to Metropolitan Service District applicable to districts generally that conflict with or are superseded by more specific references applicable to Metro. This bill has no fiscal revenue impact. The vote in the Senate was 25 votes aye, 3 no votes.
Thank you. Mr. Garahan?
Yes.
Did I say it right?
You did.
Great. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Riley, members of the committee. Paul Garahan, also an attorney in the Office of the Metro Attorney. You've heard the description of the bill. You have my written testimony before you. I'll summarize that briefly. Metro is a metropolitan service district, and in 1990, the voters of the state amended the Oregon Constitution to authorize the voters of the Metropolitan Service District to adopt a district charter to directly determine the authority of the district. And in 1992, the voters of the metro region did that, becoming what's sometimes referred to as a home rule government, simply meaning there's an independent voter-approved charter governing the authority of the district. Prior to that time, Metro's authority was derived solely by state statute. All of its authority was specifically enumerated in state statute. And after adoption of the charter in 1997, state statutes and specifically ORS Chapter 268, which is the chapter which speaks directly to the Metropolitan Service District's authority, ORS Chapter 268 was amended with the explicit purpose to conform that chapter and other state laws to the 1992 Metro Charter. What we has recently come to our attention is looking at ORS Chapter 198, which addresses special districts, and the Metropolitan Service District remained defined as a special district under ORS Chapter 198. And in fact, there are several provisions of ORS Chapter 198 that speak to the same issues that are addressed in Chapter 268. There is a list on the back of the specific sections of the bill and the conflicts or duplicative sections between chapters 198 and 268. We submit that this is essentially a housekeeping bill continuing the work of the 1997 law to conform state law to the Metro Charter and remove some of those confusing references in ORS Chapter 198 on issues that are completely covered by Chapter 268 and now by the Metro Charter. I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone has about any of the specifics of the bill.
Any questions? Representative Gerard.
The question I have is the relationship between the cities or the municipalities and Metro. Isn't this kind of just a power grab by Metro?
Chair Riley, Representative Gerard, there's nothing in this legislation that changes the authority of Metro in any way. Right now, legally, several of these sections would likely be interpreted as perhaps not applying to Metro because the more specific provisions of ORS Chapter 268 would apply. It's simply in some cases there, when you read this section, it appears and could leave the confusing impression that it applies to Metro. But this is not changing the authority or releasing requirements on Metro in any way. It's just clarifying that the other provisions are the ones applicable to Metro.
I noticed on the sheet that the minority leader opposed this bill. Do you have any rationalization as to why that happened?
I do not have any information about any of the three votes against the bill on the floor of the Senate.
Other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
No one else on the sign-up sheet?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I guess.
You do have a question.
Well, it's always interesting to be the second round of a bill because after it's gone through one body and it comes to us, I don't think you get quite as many people here testifying.
Yeah.
So what were you the only one testifying over in the Senate?
Chair Riley, Representative Beyer, yes. I was the only person to testify on the bill in the Senate committee.
Follow-up?
Follow-up, please.
So there was no one there in opposition, no one else there in support?
Chair Riley, Representative Beyer, that's correct. There was no opposition raised and no one else that spoke in favor of the bill on the Senate side.
Okay. Did you want to say something? You want to testify? Come on up and introduce yourself.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. Randy Tucker, Metro's Legislative Affairs Manager. This is like the housekeepingest of housekeeping bills there could possibly be. There were a couple of questions raised over in the testimony, you know, the discussion with the committee on the Senate side about some language that's in this bill that looks like new language about the Port of Portland, this and that, and that, you know, it has no effect as well, because that's just moving language out of a, I believe, Paul, you can correct me if I'm wrong, moving language out of a provision that's being deleted in order, just again, for the housekeeping purpose of clarifying the applicability of which statute applies to Metro. I did do a little bit of running around after the Senate hearing on the bill to the Port of Portland and the counties, because these questions had come up, and nobody raised the slightest, you know, nobody batted an eye. They took a look and they said, nah, whatever, you know. So that's right. I talked to special districts and the counties and the Port of Portland. So
and the cities?
I don't think the cities implicated at all in here. I didn't talk to the cities,
okay.
But the cities are aware. I mean, you know.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a good line. It puts the ping in housekeeping. I don't know. Can't come up with anything good. The skeep in house. I don't know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does this apply just to the Metro, or is it Metro? Is it all metropolitan service districts, and if?
We're the only metropolitan service district, Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards. There are no other metropolitan service districts.
That's a better answer than the question I asked. That's what I was getting
at. So, yes, it only applies to Metro.
Okay.
And the definition of metropolitan service districts in the statutes pretty much makes it, you'd have to change a law to even designate another metropolitan service district because the way it's defined.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 773? I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 773, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 773. Representative Edwards, do you have a motion?
I do. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 773 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves Senate Bill 773 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to give a courtesy no to my minority leader in the Senate. I have no reason why he voted no, but I just don't want it to come out unscathed.
Yeah.
And I... And I may change my vote to an aye. It looks like it shouldn't be an aye.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Metro, so.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Any other discussion?
No.
Call roll.
My cousin thanks you.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Having received the necessary vote, Senate Bill 773 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Representative Edwards, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Carry the
Representative Edwards. Always happy to help my friends at Metro.
There you go. All right. Okay, I'm going to change the list that I put out before, and I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 417. You want to give us a quick rundown, Patrick,
yes,
before
the chair. Thank you. Senate Bill 417A abolishes the Lane County Boundary Commission, transfers the funds, rights, and obligations of the commission to Lane County, and transfers the commission records to the state archives and the commission property to Lane County. It abolishes Lane County Local Government Boundary Commission Fund, provides for distribution of commission monies according to weight charges that were assessed and collected from entities within the abolished commission jurisdiction. It authorizes Lane County to assess and collect charges from said entities if there are any insufficient funds to meet transferred liabilities or obligations. The measure also specifies that existing actions or proceedings against commission will continue with appropriate substitution of parties. It requires boundary changes after January 2nd of 2008 to be processed under statutes for entities without boundary commissions.
Thank you. Senator Walker, we'll start with you if you'd like.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7. I appreciate your accommodation of my schedule. I'm next door on a bill, and when I finish with this, they'll come up with another bill, and then I got to scoot off to my committee that I'm missing. It gets sort of interesting this time of year. Senate Bill 417 is a bill that my housemate and I agreed to make a priority when we came to back to the legislature. I returning and Representative Edwards coming here for the first time. Our constituents hate this bill, or not hate this bill, but they hate the Boundary Commission. Let me correct that. At least the bulk of our constituents, some of them are, you know, don't really care, but particularly in the House District side that Representative Edwards serves, they've been very frustrated by the Boundary Commission. In 1969, there were three local boundary commissions that were created by the legislature, believing that that would help us work with our fragmented land use system. But gee whiz, shortly after that, we got Senate Bill 100 in 1973. So the three boundary commissions were Multnomah, Marion, and Lane. Multnomah dumped theirs in 1999, Marion County in the 1980s. And in fact, this session, you may have seen it in your committee already, we got rid of the Multnomah Appeals Commission, Land Use Commission. It's some little appeals commission that was between the Boundary Commission and LUBA, and the Boundary Commission is gone, so we finally got rid of the Appeals Commission.
We did that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh, you just did? Oh, well, there you go. Oh, great. So we were the only remaining Boundary Commission, and it's been a source of frustration for the constituents because one of the reasons is the Boundary Commission doesn't have to follow the same sort of annexation law that the cities do, and so they were a little bit different. And we have a large number of incorporated areas in our district, and it's, as you've probably heard from Representative Edwards before, it's a very patchwork, strange little annexation thing they've got going out in our district. So the Boundary Commission has been a source of frustration for those folks. Also, there are 12 cities in the Lane County area. 11 of them supported abolishment of the Boundary Commission. The 12th, which is my city, Eugene, was neutral. But they participated in the work group. We actually had a very good work group. You see my file is quite huge. We had a work group that Representative Edwards participated in, one of our county commissioners, League of Oregon Cities, Linda Ludwig, great assistance she offered, James Seabury, one of our constituents, the mayor of Cottage Grove, Gary Williams, and Alex Kyler from the City of Eugene Government Affairs Office. So it was a pretty well-represented work group. This is really government streamlining. Cities want to do their own thing. The Boundary Commission was another layer of government. Yeah, we know about that because Representative Beyer has her own thing going that Eugene's kind of nervous about. But it was another layer of government that was unnecessary. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you recall from last session, but Representative Vicki Berger had attempted to get rid of our Boundary Commission last session and spent some time on it. And then the City of Eugene put their lobbyists on all of us who represent Eugene and said, no, 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 we like the Boundary Commission. So we all signed on to a letter saying, please don't get rid of our Boundary Commission. And Representative Berger took it kind of hard because she thought she was doing us a favor. And so during the interim, I discovered that the Boundary Commission was a source of angst for the real constituency, not just the leadership in Eugene. So that's what you have here. I think our goal was to make sure that the Boundary Commission was dissolved and in a way that facilitated all the current cases before it, and that any remaining money that's left in the account, because each of the cities pay and the county pay dues, they pay a fee into the Boundary Commission. So if there's any money remaining, that needs to be split back among the entities. They don't own any property. They lease their desks and stuff like that. So we've taken care of all that, and I think you've got yourself a fine little bill here in front of you, if I say so myself.
Thank you. I noticed you do have a very thick file. Did you want to read that into the record?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, Representative Riley. I subscribe to the plain language of the statute.
Excellent.
This would really muddy the waters tremendously.
Questions for Senator Walker? Thank you very much. We'll let you run off to your other chores.
All right. Thank you. And I know you're in capable hands with a good representative here.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. Chris Edwards, State Representative of District 14, which is West Eugene, Santa Clara, Junction City, Cheshire, and Alvador. The good Senator Walker explained to you, she really played a key leadership role in making this a feasible bill. It's easy to say we ought to get rid of the Lane County Boundary Commission, but there's a whole lot of details that I think were well vetted and worked out in that work group. Essentially, what we've had in Lane County and the reason that what brought this issue to my attention is the Lane County Boundary Commission's role in annexation. And whether you're pro-annexation or against annexation, I think that we could all agree that there ought to be some sort of democratic process that happens around those type of decisions. And what we have essentially have had in Eugene and specifically where I live in Santa Clara is a system where the city of Eugene has been interested in annexing the Santa Clara area, and there in the metro plan that was laid out in the early 80s, it specifies that was negotiated between the county and the city. It specifies that all services, it specifies that within the urban growth boundary, all services will be provided by the city. And so and then there's a series of intergovernmental agreements between the city and the county that turn those services, certain services, over to the city. And so and things like building permits and whatnot, whether it's a new subdivision or a new kitchen. If you want to get a building permit and you live in the county, you have to go to the city to get that. And so what happens is in order to get that building permit, you must first apply or request annexation from the city. And so it's been historically, and I will give the city kudos because they're turning around some of their attitudes on annexation, so I don't want to continue to beat them over the head as they're coming around on some of these issues. But historically, they've been able to say, "Well, these are voluntary annexations," or indeed the homeowners are requesting them. Well, I would argue that they're coerced, and the decisions about whether or not to grant those annexations so that building permits can be applied for and garnered have been made by the Boundary Commission. And I can understand why for elected officials in the past that's an advantageous thing, because they don't have to then get their hands dirty and really wade into some really super contentious issues, because the Boundary Commission is a board appointed by the governor. So there is no local electoral accountability. So city officials don't have to deal with these decisions. County commissioners don't have to deal with these decisions. It's simply a state-appointed board that's reading a rule book, essentially. And so there's been an outcry in the Eugene or the Santa Clara area specifically, which is what brought it to my attention. It also deals with other boundary decisions, and it's not just annexation. That just happens to be what brought it to my attention. And so this bill turns those duties back over to the local governments that should be making those decisions. And so I urge your support.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Representative Byer.
Thank you. After listening to your last comment about the decisions belonging with their local governments, I couldn't agree with you more.
No.
I think there's a deeper meaning to that. Thank you for your testimony. No one else has signed up. Is anyone in the audience want to testify on Senate Bill 417? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 417A, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 417A.
And Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 417A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Girard moves Senate Bill 417A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call roll.
Aye.
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 Aye. Chair, I would recommend that Representative Edwards carry this, but try to limit his speech to 2 minutes or less, because he'll lose everybody on the floor.
Having received the required votes, Senate Bill 417A is sent to the floor with due pass recommendation. Representative Edwards will carry it and limit his comments.
Definitely.
Okay, we have one more bill to hear. I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 516. Patrick, do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 516 allows a record owner of land in a sanitary district to serve as a member of the governing body for the district. This bill has no fiscal impact, no revenue impact, and was approved in the Senate on a 27-0 vote.
Looks like we have a panel. You guys can decide among yourselves who goes first and introduce yourself and begin.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Martha Pagel. I'm an attorney with Schwabe, Williamson, and Wyatt, and I'm here today representing Paradise Ranch Resort. I have Bill Leap, who is a partner in that development project, and Linda Swearingen, who's also working with us. We've provided my written testimony, and I'll try to be very brief. This is sort of along the lines of housekeeping. I guess I would characterize it as a step above housekeeping, but it's really intended to make a fairly minor change in existing law relating to sanitary districts, and it would allow any landowner within a sanitary district to be represented on the board of directors of the sanitary district, whereas under current law, only electors, that's the term used in the statute, and electors means voters, and what that boils down to is that a landowner who's a business entity or a government entity who could be directly affected by this type of sewer project and paying a lot of assessments under a sewer project would not qualify. So this brings sanitary districts into line with a number of other special districts in the state by allowing any landowner to be represented. In putting the bill together, we did consult with the Special Districts Association and Association of Oregon Counties, and they were fine with the bill. We didn't have anybody else opposing the bill. We were the only ones testifying on the bill on the Senate side. So it's another one of those that comes to you with a lot of support and no opposition. And it's really, in this case, a very good idea that opens the door to a great project in Josephine County that I'd like Bill Leap to tell you a little bit about.
Linda, do you have anything? Whatever.
No.
Okay. My name is Bill Leap. I live in Jacksonville, Oregon, about 30 miles south of the proposed destination resort, which is Paradise Ranch Resort. Just for contribution of testimony, am I also, would it be advised that I limit this to 2 minutes? Or,
or I will lose me real quick.
Okay.
You might be stretching it a little too.
Understanding that audience, the limited capacity, I'll try to keep it brief. Kind of the background is 1985, the legislature kind of blessed this area and provided a economic enterprise zone. Thank you. And that at that point, it really kind of spawned the creation of this an opportunity up there. Right now, Paradise Ranch is an approved resort, and we are under some grading construction right now. The passage of 516 would enable us to cure some issues up there, and we are technically, historically, we were the economic, named the economic stimulus to set in place the sanitation system up there. So what that would enable us to do by creating that or allowing us to launch the sanitation district would be to cure an industrial park right now, which is a dry park, Fleming School District, North Valley High School, and the ODOT rest stop in the phase one, including the opening of the destination resort in our ranch. Also, there's a commercial interchange down there that would also be in, would be enabled by the launch of this. The town of Merlin would follow in a phase three, and in a phase two of this particular sanitation district, we would be picking up from Dotter Ranch, and then that's also the treatment facility. And so essentially we would be able to cure some issues up there. We'd also be in, helping out the adjacent property owner, which is the airport there, the Josephine County Airport. I don't know that I have a lot beyond that unless there's some other weighted interest here.
If I could just give one other footnote that I, to follow up on what Bill was saying about the partnership that we're trying to build here, that the resort obviously has to be responsible for treating and disposing of the sewage from the resort project. In this case, because they are ready, willing, and able to make the key economic investment to do that, it creates this great opportunity for partnering with the local community that is not in a position to step forward and put in that kind of capital investment. So this really is a great opportunity for a win-win. We've been working very closely with the county, already have a general service district, but would like to convert it to a sanitary district, a special district, the school district, ODOT on the rest area, and local businesses in the town of Merlin.
Chair Riley, members of the committee, my name is Linda Swearingen, and I'm a former mayor and county commissioner, and I, unless you have any questions, I'll just leave it at that because I understand, you know, keep it brief and to the point.
Great. Questions? actually, what he's looking up is who's the representative for the for that area? The state representative.
Hmm? Oh, Senator Jason Atkinson is the
he's
the
new territory.
The House representative.
Oh, the House representative. Dennis Richardson.
Is it Dennis?
Mm-hmm. He's Central Point, and I'm not sure if he goes expands up to there. Just while you're working on that particular element, one thing I've just, you know, there's a lot of informational background on this, but with the evaporation of the ONC funds, you know, we're looking from this resort alone to be injecting over $200 million on a build-out, and the tax revenue coming from that resource going to Grants Pass as well as Josephine County with our joint relationships would be a real stimulus to that area that that was certainly pointed in the Enterprise Zone originally.
Right. The reason we're looking for that is to find out if they would like to carry the bill.
Yeah. I think it is Mauer.
Is it Mauer? Possibly. Anyway, at any rate.
Just give him an
hour.
He is
Mauer.
You don't have it on the zip code in Jacksonville.
That would be the ranch. It would be 97526.
It's Mauer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Mauer. So it's representing Mauer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I looked it up before.
Thank you.
I have one. Yeah. Yeah, you're real helpful, Patrick.
Absolutely. Fast into the point. What can you
do? I did have one question. Are you still under an enterprise zone there?
Yes, we are.
And how long does that have to run?
Well, I believe the sunset was ending in 07 or 08, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that was just recently increased through the last. I did see a note come down through the email that that had been extended for the sunset another 4 years, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Which would give us enough time to get in play. But I think it's all in the spirit of, you know, the direction it was intended.
Right. No, I just wanted to make sure you had time
to
get
that
done.
Yeah. We're trying desperately.
Okay. Any other discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to, all right, first I'm going to ask, is there anyone else who'd like to testify on this bill? There's only one other person in the room. But, okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 516, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 516.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 516 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Representative Girard moves Senate Bill 516 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Discussion. Seeing none, call on the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Aye. Having received the required votes, Senate Bill 516 is sent to the floor with a due-pass recommendation, and I'm going to assign it to Representative Mauer to carry. That's the end of our business today, and we cleared out the room pretty well. And so I'm going to end the session for today. Thank you very much.